Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. If you want to follow along, you'll want to turn in your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We are studying about David, and we're going to talk about the reign of David, how David reigned as king. But before David became king, there's an interesting story about David, how that he had killed the giant and then became an officer and a chief man of Saul's army. And then became a fugitive as Saul tried to slay him. But then, when Saul and Jonathan were slain in battle against the Philistines, David did become king, first in Hebron, and then in Jerusalem. And it is while he was king in Jerusalem that he brought the ark to Jerusalem and wanted to build the temple to Jerusalem. But God forbade him to build the temple and said that his son Solomon would do that in his stead. We read in our last class about how David had killed the giant Philistine on the battle in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we're going to finish reading that chapter beginning in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 50 in just a moment. Before we get there, I want to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let me begin reading. We had just read that David had used the stone to slay the Philistine. The Philistine fell on his face, Goliath, and then he took the Philistine's own sword. And we read in 1 Samuel chapter 17 in verse 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou comest unto Gaiah, unto the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shearim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they plundered their camp. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, As thou so liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, Inquire thou whose son this stripling is. And David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, and Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said unto him, Whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Now from there David becomes a soldier in Saul's army, and he is very successful in every battle he fights against the Philistines. And the people begin to say, in cheering David on, that Saul had slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. Now poor, poor Saul. He was troubled by this, and he became jealous of a soldier in his army, hearing that his soldier was receiving more praise than he. Perhaps Saul wondered if this was the one that would replace him as king. And perhaps Saul himself thought he could defy the will of God and hold out long enough for Jonathan to be anointed king. But it would not be. Saul turned on David and sought his life. And David had to flee, and there's many stories of adventure stories about David's narrow escapes from Saul. It's what reminds me of the stories of Robin Hood. Many of the men that were oppressed came up and came around David, and David had his own band of men that was pursued by Saul and his enemies. But in the end, Saul, in battle against the Philistines, was slain. And we read about the fact that Saul was slain in 1 Samuel chapter 31. And then we read of David's reaction to it in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 1. But let me read to you now 1 Samuel 31 verses 1 through 6. Now the Philistines fought against Israel. And the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and Aniab and Malchishua, the sons of Saul. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers overtook him. And he was greatly distressed by reason of the archers. Then said Saul to his armor-bearer, "Draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised Philistines come and thrust me through and abuse me." But his armor-bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took his sword and fell upon it. And when his armor-bearer saw that Saul was dead, he likewise fell upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor-bearer, and all his men, that same day together. Now the reaction of David to this is most interesting. 1 Samuel chapter 1, and beginning. 2 Samuel chapter 1, beginning in verse 17. I want to remind you that David had had several chances to slay Saul himself, and his men had urged him on to do it. But he said he would not lift up his hand against the Lord's anointed. And David grieved over Saul's death. Here we read 2 Samuel chapter 1, beginning in verse 17. And David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. And he bade them teach the children of Israel the song of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher, "Thy glory, O Israel, is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew nor rain upon you, neither fields nor offerings. For there the shield of the mighty was vilely cast away. The shield of Saul was not anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. And Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul. Who clothed you in scarlet delicately? Who put ornaments of gold upon your apparel? How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? Jonathan is slain upon the high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen, and the weapons of war perished." So upon the death of Saul, David did become king, but not over all of Israel. Not immediately. The son of Saul, Ish-bosheth, became king over Israel toward the north, and David became king over Judah, and reigned from Hebron. And thus there were two kings over Israel for a period of 7 years. But Ish-bosheth was a weak man, and he had his enemies within his own camp. And someone came and slew Ish-bosheth, And with the death of Ish-bosheth, David became king over all of Israel. And David moved his capital from Hebron to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is in the hills. There he could build a fortress on that hill city, a place that would be easily defended. And David, being of military mind, saw the importance of that for his capital. And so David reigned from Jerusalem over all Israel. And while David was reigning, he decided he would make Jerusalem also a spiritual center for Israel, and not just a civil and military center. And so he sent to have the Ark of the Covenant brought to Jerusalem. And there he made some mistakes. And we're going to read about those and the lessons we can learn from this. I'm going to begin reading now from 1 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 through 17, where we read, David again gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him unto Baal of Judah to bring up from thence the Ark of God, which is called by the name, even the name of Jehovah of hosts, that sitteth above the cherubim. And they set the Ark of God upon a new cart, and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in the hill, and Uzziah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. I bet they had a special cart made just for that Ark, and they thought that would be wonderful to bring it in on a new cart. But we're going to find out that's not the way God said to transport the Ark. David was taking too much matters into his own hands and using his wisdom instead of consulting the law. He would learn better as things developed. We read in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 4. They brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was in the hill with the Ark of God. And Ahio went before the Ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before Jehovah with all manner of instruments made of fir wood, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with castaments, and with cymbals. I mean, they were having quite the parade, and rejoicing, and bringing the Ark up to Jerusalem. And read in 2 Samuel 6 and verse 6. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah put forth his hand to the Ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of Jehovah was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. And he died before the Ark of God. And David was displeased because Jehovah had broken forth upon Uzzah. And he called that name Perez Uzzah unto this day. You see, God had said no one was to touch the Ark. It's a sad lesson here that we learn from Uzzah. I don't doubt that Uzzah had good intentions when he violated the law of God. But good intentions do not a good deed make. Uzziah, against the law of God, thinking to steady the Ark of God as it went over this threshing floor, reached forth his hand, and when he touched the Ark, he was dead. It is so important for us today, before we do anything in religion, to consult his law, to make sure we're doing God's things, God's ways, and not just using our judgment and doing our things our ways. Well, we read in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 9, David was afraid of Jehovah that day, and he said, "How shall the Ark of Jehovah come unto me?" So David would not remove the Ark of Jehovah unto him in the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the Ark of Jehovah remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And Jehovah blessed Obed-Edom and all his house. Well, we're going to continue this reading in 1 Samuel. You know, I want to mark 2 Samuel chapter 6, beginning in verse 12, in our next class, and we'll see that how David found out the right way to bring the Ark to Jerusalem and was successful in doing so.